justify that use, you have been deprived of substantial sums of money. Your answer was, the Society Ordo Templis in America in its present form was founded by Aleister Crowley. Is that a correct answer? Mr. Motor, was the Society Ordo Templis Orientis in America in its present form founded by Aleister Crowley?
I'm just thinking before I ask this.
Yeah, roll the time you want.
You'd have to be more specific.
Well, I didn't ask the question. The question was how you intended to prove the damages. Your reply is that the Society Ordo Templis Orientis in America, in its present form, was founded by Aleister Crowley.
That depends on the definition of founded. If you say founded in terms that legally established, so as to have legal existence, as a legal existence that can be taxed, can be sued, and can have responsibility for its owner's activities, no. But the society was founded in order to be able to work out the intentions and aims and purpose of Aleister Crowley behind all his idea of what to do with your fuel.
Behind all
of his ideas of what to do with your fuel. So, in this sense, yes, the society was founded by Aleister Crowley and continued by Mr. Gurney.
I guess confusion comes around the word society. I had not seen the word society used until you founded your corporation.
It was necessary to use some word that would take the thing. I did not want to establish a church.
I'm not quarreling with the use of the word. I'm only saying that Ordo Templi Orientis, without the word society in front of it, was apparently formed by Mr. Germer here in America with Mr. Crowley's blessing.
Not formed.
It was already in existence?
It was in existence, but not in legal existence. It was never legally established or registered.
Well, does not the word formed then mean that he gave it legal establishment? It does to me. If it existed without structure, Mr. Germer gave it structure, did he not?
No.
Well, who did?
Me.
When did you do this?
When I registered it in Brazil first, and then I had it registered here in the United States next.
Tell me about the registration process in Brazil. When did you do that?
Again, I think you have to look it up on that chronology that you were given, because, believe it or not, I don't remember the exact date. I don't know if it was 78 or 70, no, 75 or 76. Either 75 or 76, I'm not sure. But there is a copy of the Brazilian registration available to you if you need it. It's exactly the same organization with the same constitution.
Is that not a Brazilian branch or a Brazilian society that you formed in Brazil?
Yes. Any society, any branch of a society in any particular country is formed according to the laws and to work within the laws of that country.
And you formed the Brazilian organization on the basis of your belief that Mr. Germer had given you that patent?
Oh, yes.
Right. And you formed the Nashville, Tennessee, or the Tennessee Corporation on the basis of the same understanding?
Yes.
Where was then, in your opinion, where was the society, Strike Society, where was the OTO which Germer had formed?
What do you mean by where?
Well, you joined, by your own words, the OTO in California as a disciple or as a...
Excuse me, I joined the OTO. It happened to be in California. But I didn't join the OTO in California because there was no OTO legal. There was no society of the OTO legally in existence in California. Well, at that stage of the things, the OTO worked completely outside the... Well, if I say completely outside the pay of the law, it sounds like it was a lawless organization. It worked outside the normal framework of the law. Mr. Germer wanted to legalize the existence of the OTO as early as 1948 or 1949, and he wrote Grady McMurtry a letter proposing this to him and to to several people. The kind of answer that we had received from those people, and particularly from Grady McMurtry, made him decide that it was not time yet to give legal existence to the society. So what actually happened, in those days, it was simply a matter of a gentleman's agreement.
So what you're saying is when you joined OTO, you and Mr. Gerber happened to be in California, but OTO apparently
there were no laws
existed in the head of Mr. Gerber at that time.
Not only the head of Mr. Gerber, my head too.
Not until you joined it.
Well, from the moment when I joined it, right?
But until you joined it, it was in Mr. Gerber's head.
No, there were other members. You see, there was once a lodge called the Agape Lodge in California. A-G-A-P-E. Greek, Agape. The Agape Lodge, or Agape Lodge in Agape or Agape Lodge in California, which had quite a few members. Some of them became the greatest con men of the century. And made a brouhaha there. Got, as usual, got the kind of publicity that Hellenic movements get anywhere, and eventually was slowly undermined by the ambitions of its own members. And by the time that I visited Mr. Gerber in California and he inducted me into the Ninth, he introduced me to the remaining members of the organization in California. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So far as I remember, 6. They lived in different towns, and they didn't meet very often except socially for a dinner or like something like that. They didn't anymore have a law to conduct rituals or anything like that. And Mr. Gerber was completely dissatisfied with them.
Did he tell you that?
Yes, but not always why. Only in the case of Grady McMurtry, he told me why.
All right, now Mr. Gerber died in 1962.
Yes.
And in 1978 in Nashville, Tennessee, you incorporated an organization which you named the Society Ordo Templi Orientis in America.
Yes.
Is it your claim that by so doing that you brought into your Nashville, your Tennessee corporation all of the legal rights, the structure, and the governance of OTO all over the world?
I do not know. I have been searching for since Mr. Gerber. I've been searching for 20 years now. I do not know if there is somewhere in the world someone who has a charter from Mr. Gerber and can work with the OTO. If there is such a person anywhere, this person is not covered by my authority.
All right, so your authority then was used in Brazil to create a corporation there.
Yes.
And according to your purpose and belief, that organization and you are the Society Ordo Templis in Brazil.
Yes.
By the same logic, your authority reportedly from Gerber and your action to incorporate in Tennessee means that all of the activities of the Society Ordo Templi Orientis in America is under your jurisdiction and control and in this corporation.
Yes.
Did you ever hear of a man named Joseph Metzger?
Yes.
Can you tell me who Mr. Metzger is?
Very little. I only know that he's Swiss. And I believe he was not chartered originally by Mr. Gerber. This belief has come in my correspondence with Mr. Gerber about him. There is a statement in one of Mr. Gerber's letters that the Swiss were not his occultists. They were their own occultists. From this I surmise that maybe he had been chartered originally by Royce or something like that.
Let me ask you right there. In your belief, if in fact Mr. Metzger could trace a legitimate descent from Mr. Royce on the continent of Europe, would he not be a valid outer head of an OTO?
No. He could be a valid head in his own country, but not the valid outer head of the OTO. The outer head of the OTO has to be named by his predecessor. Okay, now, I think I understand your question. Let me try to go on and maybe I'll be able to answer it. He's having got a patent from, Royce, would mean something only if this patent had been recognized by Crowley. And after Crowley's death, if this patent had been recognized by Mr. Gurman.
Why wasn't it equally as valid as the one Mr. Royce gave Mr. Crowley?
Because when the king is dead, the new king decides.
But you said earlier Mr. Crowley's patent was to develop OTO in the English-speaking countries.
The first patent?
Yes, from Mr. Royce.
Yes, and that's the same kind of patent that Metzger probably had for Switzerland.
Do you know that it was limited to Switzerland, or was it the German-speaking countries of the world?
I doubt it.
You don't know?
I doubt it, because Mr. Gurman...
Not asking if you doubt it. Do you know?
Yes, I know. And I'll explain why. Because Mr. Gurman had the patent for Germany. He worked in Germany until the Nazis destroyed the lodges and burned the works and put him in a concentration camp.
From whom did he have a patent?
From Crowley.
And have you seen that patent?
No.
So that, if it existed, how did you discover its existence?
Well, it's common knowledge of all members. It was related by several people. It's a historical...
No, did she miss it?
Okay. It was common knowledge of all members. And it's a historical fact because it's well known that the OTO existed, that Mr. Gurman represented it, that the books were burned by the Nazis, and that he was put in a concentration camp by them. And this was done because he was involved in Masonic work in Germany.
Was Mr. Gurman Jewish?
No, he was married to a Jew, but he was not Jewish. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he had one of the most Persian faces that I've ever met.
He was persecuted then for his organizational activities, not for being Jewish.
I think he was persecuted both for his organizational activities and for having married a Jewish woman.
Let me go back to your interrogatories for a minute. On page 7, question 11, you were asked to explain the methods by which you intend to prove that you have been damaged in your reputation because of the association of your trade and service marks with inferior literary works attributable to the defendant. And the question was to include in this answer what your reputation is in the occult book publishing business and give the names of other publishers in that business you will use to prove your reputation. Your answer says as follows. In every instance in which I have described, interpreted, edited, or arranged the literary works of Aleister Crowley, I've done so in a scholarly, respectful, and dignified manner. In contrast, those authors who have affixed the trade and service marks of the Society Ordo Templi Orientis to their works without authorization from me or the Society Ordo Templi Orientis have written about Aleister Crowley, in an uninformed, superficial, inaccurate, and sensationalist manner. I consider my reputation as a serious scholar and interpreter of Crowley to be irreparably harmed by any association with works that I have just described. Now, your answer implies that anyone who writes disrespectfully or in an undignified manner about Crowley is answerable to you in damages, and I would like to know if that is part of your claim.
Certainly not. Anybody can write what they like about anybody else. If it's their own opinion, they are freely entitled to it. My objection is the people who write about Crowley misinterpreting things that Crowley said, or even inventing things that Crowley never said or did, or twisting facts in order to create a different impression about Crowley than what the man really was, or who represent Crowley, or to represent what you really have without having the slightest right to discuss it. Now, some of the annotations or some of the books I read are quite ridiculous. I remember one case, for instance, in which Mrs. Stitton Skinner cruelly abbreviated a sentence abbreviated a sentence in his diaries to "and eat the dogs of reason." Eat that foot dog, the dogs of reason.
And P.
The letter P.
P.
Stop. P. Stop. The dogs of reason.
The dogs of reason.
No, no, it's a sentence in a book. And Mr. Skinner put a note underneath clarifying that Crowley had said, "and this on the dogs of reason." But actually, it was a quotation from the Book of Law, and it meant "and perish with the dogs of reason." Now, this kind of thing is shows a total lack of scholarship.
All right, but is it someone else's lack of scholarship?
Besides the fact that it was very poor scholarship, and
Mr. Weiser published it?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure he distributed it. I don't know, that's part of the record, and I'm sure it's in your answers.
So your statement is your reputation is diminished by these things which are less than...
No, my personal reputation is not diminished by these things, but Crowley's reputation is diminished by those things, and I am harmed by the publication of books that I might have published myself in a much better way, in a much more scholarly manner, in a much more dignified manner towards Crowley, and of which BLTO and myself would be had been able to enjoy the copyrights which, after all, Crowley gave to us, and not to Mr. Skinner.
You would not claim then that merely sloppy scholarship or somebody else's poor grammar or something like that is in commenting on works of Crowley, which are not copyrightable by you, damage you?
Only so far that my respect for the man makes me get irritated and annoyed. Irritated and annoyed by it.
You may say that. I am trying to clarify the statement in your interrogatory. You seem to say to me that these people could be liable in damages to you for what you consider to be poor scholarship.
I don't think the phrasing was intended to mean that at all.
All right. Tell me, please, who is Martin Starr?
Martin Starr is a director of a society which I founded here in the United States. He lives in Chicago, Illinois. He is a scholar, very young man, but very brilliant. He is studying at the University of Chicago. He has his master's in literature and comparative religion and is working in spare time towards his PhD. He is interested in writing a good factual biography of Crowley, and he's absolutely mad about collecting all scraps of information about Crowley that he can get his hands on. And that's very useful to us.
Is he an employee of yours?
No.
Is he an employee of the SOTO in Tennessee?
No, he's a director of the order, not an employee.
Was he active in the founding of the order?
Not in Tennessee, no. But there is a branch in the state of Illinois that he has.
Did he incorporate another branch?
He incorporated it in Illinois
at your request. Mm-hmm. He's not your employer, is he, in any way?
In a sense, no. The society in the United States is my employer, so I can remain in the United States under an H-1 visa. The society as a whole, but that includes him and the other directors.
Who are the other directors?
There is one in the state of California called Alfred Stephens. And there is Alfred
Stephens
with two F's.
T-E-F-F-O-N-S.
Okay, he's in
California.
Are there others?
Yes, there is Miss Claudia Canuto de Menezes in Tennessee.
I think there is something here.
It's written there. I hope it's written correctly. And it's not only the, also the Australian director, Mr. William Robert Barden. It's they together that support me.
Are they members, are they degree holders in OTO?
They hold up to the third degree only, because they're not qualified yet to go beyond that.
And who entered them into the third degree?
I did myself.
When they became third degree members, did you issue them anything in writing?
Well, they had to have. Now the letter patent is written as if it were a contract, a legal contract.
Right.
And each of them received one.
Right. And how often do the directors of your SOTO meet in Tennessee?
We have never met. Because our main work up to now has been publishing the books, and all the money has been going to publishing books, which is one of the reasons why we haven't sued Mr. McMurtry in California.
Are you the, from the business end of the corporation, are you the executive director?
Yes.
And you make all the decisions?
And do all the work.
But you have not had a board of directors meeting since the corporation
started? No. There eventually will be one, but they'll have to be much more well-trained than they are right now, because I think the first meeting that they're going to have is going to be to, among themselves, elect someone to be the other head of the order, which is not going to be me.
You are going to confer upon them the right to do this?
No, they're going to confer upon themselves this right, but I'm going to have to recognize that they conquered it, that they have it.
If they appoint a new outer head of the order, that person, whoever it may be, will be the supreme ruler, so-called, of...
It will be what Mr. Gilmer was, and it will be
what Curley was.
Mm-hmm.
And that, therefore, there will be a great many changes in legal relationships all over the world.
No, not in the least. Because the position that I'm occupying right now, that I call general supervisor, would be normally the position of the outer head of the order. I did not want to take that name because I consider myself only trustee for the OTO.
Did your directors appoint you as a trustee, or did you enter into any written agreements with the SOTO to be trustee?
I was appointed a trustee by Mr. Gurner. My directors are appointed trustees by me.
Did Mr. Gurner specifically, in any writing that you possess, appoint you and use the word you are a trustee of OTO?
Not in those specific words, no. I have been asked by my lawyers to search for, through the correspondence for this kind of mentions that you are making, requesting for right now. It hadn't occurred to me to look for that.
And you're still searching?
Well, I will as soon as I go back, because I don't have the documentation here, and I eventually forge them as much as I can, and I'm sure they will forge it.
When you go back to Brazil?
No, to Tennessee.
What will Martin Starr, you have stated, I believe, that Martin Starr is going to be one of your witnesses when this comes to trial. Can you tell me what Martin Starr will testify to?
Probably about the books and the reference to Crowley and any pirated parts of Crowley's works published in
other...
Pirated.
Parts of Crowley's work published in any other book, because he's read them all and he has that kind of mind. I don't.
Has he done any personal research on the derivation from Crowley through Germer to you of the,
yes, he has,
of the
he
authority
has
done, and the OTO?
He has been doing the research for me for quite some time. He's been taking care of this part of the work because I don't have time. I have to take care of the publishing part.
Is he paid for the research that he does?
Of course not.
He's a volunteer.
Yes, we all are.
Who is Gerald J. York?
The only reason I get money is because I need money to live in order to do the work I'm doing. I'm not getting a salary. I'm getting a, how do you call it, a pro labore, something like that.
I understand. And did you get this answer, this extended answer?
Yeah.
Pro labore,
I don't know.
P-R-O, another word, L-A-B-O-R-E.
Something off the record, something akin to what the lawyers call pro bono publico. Now back on the record, my question was...
In Portuguese, lawyers call it pro labore, so from now on, I'm going to use the expression that you just...
How many languages do you speak, by the way? Yes, we're on the record.
I speak English, Portuguese, French, a little bit of Spanish, and very little bit of German.
Thank you. Now, I asked earlier, who is Gerald York? That's G-E-R-A-L-D, middle initial J, Y-O-R-K-E.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gerald York was a very early pupil of Crowley. He became a pupil of Crowley when he was still a very young man. He's an extremely intelligent man, very well educated, good family, wealthy, independently wealthy, even for England, although in England these days he's not a rich man. He just can move with comfort within the country, which is a great help. In comfort within the country, which is a great help. And for quite some time he was a very steady pupil of Crowley's, and because he was in army intelligence during the war, and because he was still working for intelligence services for quite some time, he was helpful to Crowley under many straits, under many circumstances.
Do you know him personally?
No, just by correspondence. And Crowley disavowed him as a pupil when Crowley was expelled from Cisco. Is this all pertinent to you? I mean, am I...
Yes,
okay.
The more I can understand about what to me is a very difficult organization.
Just better at me, okay?
All right.
When Crowley was expelled from Sicily because the Roman Catholic Church asked Mussolini to have him got out and made some concessions to Mussolini, Crowley was in an extremely turbulent state of mind. He was really very, very upset. And at that time, York did something which is, in my opinion, was silly but natural and explainable. But Crowley got extremely mad at him and expelled him with every possible word and explanation and sent the reasons for his dissatisfaction to all pupils.
In a sense, he excommunicated him from the order?
No, it was not an excommunication. It was just that we never do. We can never do. It's not done by us. Excommunication is something that, it's a concept that we do not have.
He removed him from all...
He cut contact.
Oh, right.
But at that time, York got very angry about it, naturally. And York's position just before this happened was a custodian of all of Crowley's literary work.
Was he the literary executor under Crowley's will?
No.
How did he acquire these things if he was not?
Are you talking about after Crowley's death?
Yes.
Or before? Oh, we'll get to that, if you'll wait for me for a moment.
All right, well, let's, I would like it, it's very interesting. Let me say this, it's very interesting, but I would like to hold as nearly as I can to what I believe is to be relevant here, and
okay, I was going to say,
I feel that we're getting a little far afield right about now.
I can resume it a little bit. York was angry about that because he had been the custodian of the manuscripts, and the rest of his life he started collecting Crowley manuscripts from all sides that he could. His ambition was, and now I think he has achieved it, to have the biggest, richest, amplest collection of Crowley's material in the entire world, and had the sneaky satisfaction that although Crowley had disowned him and had taken his right to be the custodian of all this from him, he had gotten it back, and he had gotten one on Crowley by doing it.
Do you not feel that maybe Mr. York would be valuable to your position? You've never known him, you've never met him?
I have had some extensive correspondence with him, but the principal problem is that Mr. York is an ex-pupil, and Mr. York has, in my opinion, encouraged people to pirate our work, and Mr. York has not been very obedient to the idea that...
To the idea
that Mr. Germer was Crowley's successor. Mr. York has tried to minimize the significance of Mr. Germer in all his dealings with anybody who has come to him asking for literary material about Crowley and so forth.
You stated, I believe, that he could be, that you could possibly call him as a witness. What would he testify to for you?
Only, I think, about the letters that he sent me and the legitimacy of the letters of which he sent me copies, and of the legitimacy of Crowley's will, Germer's will, and Mrs. Germer's correspondence with him. You see, among other things, York has denied that he knew of my existence at any time, and I find that very difficult to believe, because he has in his possessions material written in Portuguese by a certain Telemite, and that has to be me. And in his statements, in his different letters to me, there is contradiction in the statements. And when this happens, he blames his old age and his weak memory. But as he is one of the acutest intellects that I have ever been in contact with, I tend to doubt that excuse.
How old is Mr. York?
I think he's in his 90s right now.
Is he a resident of Great Britain?
Yes. And he has a yacht on which he travels a lot in the Mediterranean. He has money, and he has been acquiring material from all sides. And as I was saying about the Germer Library, there is quite some possibility that he will have acquired stolen material without caring where it comes from, provided it enriches his collection. Lots of collectors do that, as you probably know.
Excuse me, just a moment. When we go off the record, I just want to communicate with my client. You've objected to the use of the seal, oval seal with Deus Est Homo. Do you know when it was originally copyrighted in England?
No.
Do you have any belief as to whether or not it's in the public domain?
I have no knowledge.
No,
we are still researching it.
You have complained in a suit against the Wiser Corporation for the unlawful use of the seal. And my question is, do you yet have any specific evidence that traces the copyrights, if any, of that seal from Crowley to Germer to you and or any OTO?
Let's put it this way. No one who was not a member of, accredited member of the OTO with a patent to work for the OTO would use the seal in any kind of OTO publication.
Even if the seal were no longer protected by copyright law?
I think that the seal is protected by copyright law confront the fact that it is the sea of Yotio and cannot be used by anyone else who is not a member of Yotio or who is not a member in good standing of Yotio.
Who devised the seal?
The seal, as it stands with Deus Homo Est, was devised.
Stands with?
Deus Homo Est.
Deus, D-E-U-S, the word H-O-M-O, the word E-S-T.
Was devised by Crowley. The simple seal itself, with all these sayings, is the original seal that was used in Germany.
And was it ever copyrighted that you know of in Germany?
I do not know even what copyright laws would be about this in Germany at all.
Thank you.
But you must, by the way, you must remember that no publications of works of Yotio have been done in Germany except the Oriflamme, which was circulated only among the members. It was a
Oriflamme.
The Oriflamme. O-R-I-F-L-M-M-E.
F-L-A.
I'm sorry.
By the way, can you tell me what the OTO's specific translation of Deus as Homo? I can translate it too, but what is God is man or man is God?
It makes no difference.
I know it makes no difference, but how is it used for your purpose?
God is man.
And what was the phrase you asked in which one do you approach?
Deus est homo. Man in the sense, of course, of the human species, including both sexes.
Okay, now, have you been able, I think we asked you this in the production of documents, but have you been able to discover and bring for us a copy of Liber Aleph and Magic Without Tears that Mr. Weiser's company is, you have alleged that they have published? In your complaint, I believe that those two books are complained about, and we asked for copies of them published by Weiser.
Mr. Starr gathered the books for me, so I wouldn't be familiar with that, but if the book is here, if it's probably in the list and they have it, and if he isn't here, he's probably still trying to get it, and he'll eventually get it, I'm sure. I have a copy of the original edition, but I don't suppose you're interested in that.
But that wasn't published by Mr. Weiser?
No.
We don't have copies of either of those on. Which ones are those, then?
As sin card.
Liber Aleph.
As we are again.
And Magic Without Tears. They're both, I believe, written by Crowley, right?
And then written by several other people.
Well, originally written by Mr. Crowley, but in your complaint, you've alleged that Weiser published those, and we are asking to see if I know.
Could I ask Mr. Starr about this?
Now, you have supplied me earlier, and I guess it came with your answers to the interrogatories, Mr. Moda, with some certificates, various certificates, or copies of various certificates of registration or claims to copyright. I'm showing you one that you sent me, which is called Certificate of Renewal Registration, bearing registration number RE97-735.
Yes, please.
The claimant is SOTO in America,
mm-hmm.
Nashville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and claims to be proprietor of a copyright.
Mm-hmm.
The copywriting, the Gospel According to St. Bernard Shaw,
mm-hmm.
was written by Mr. Crowley,
mm-hmm.
and you are claiming that the entire work is renewable.
Yes.
All right. The original copyright claimant, according to the statement, was Carl Johannes Germer.
That's how it was written in the... I had a copy of an affidavit I have the affidavit as to the original registration from the Library of Congress. I went to Washington to get it.
When you submitted this to the patent office, I guess I'm asking for...
The date is there.
I know, what I'm asking you, I didn't say when did you, I'm saying when you did it, did you have to supply the patent office with any proof of the connection between Mr. Germer and SOTO, or did they simply accept at face value your statement?
In my letter of covering, I offered them to send them any evidence that they might need, but they did not feel that any was necessary.
And I guess I asked the same question about one or two of these others because they're all a little bit different. Is a certificate...
I was not very good at it, you know.
You seem to have been successful. You submitted the front page of a certificate claiming in your own name at a Rio de Janeiro address, Commentaries of Al being Equinox Volume 5, Number 1. It's unsigned.
I believe this was done by Mr. Wazir's organization in my name.
Alright, that's an answer. I will pursue that with Mr. Wazir. I was just wondering who had submitted it. Here is a certificate of copyright registration, Equinox Volume 5, Number 2. You are named as the author. Pseudonym Parzival, P-A-R-Z-I-V-A-L, Roman numeral 11, followed by a degree sign.
Am I being named as the only author?
Name of author.
No. Name of author, the other author.
All right. The author of substantial text.
Yes.
It includes Crowley, right? Now, that is signed by someone else, but was that done on your behalf?
It was done on my behalf by the lodge in Nashville, yes.
And yet
it was done by the director there, Claudia Camilla Menezes. You got Claudia?
Oh, yeah.
Claudia, it's Claudia, the same Claudia you had earlier. The address was Thelema Publishing Company in Nashville, correct? And this was submitted for you.
Yes, I was not in the States.
Not for the SOTO.
That was badly done, but I wasn't here yet. I didn't see them do it.
But the copyright in this case is in your name and not in the...
What was the date of that?
The deposit received by the federal government on May 29, 1979.
They should have done in the name of the authority.
Well, are you saying now that that copyright is in fact owned by the OTO and that this was an error?
There is a difference there. The Crowley material, the copyright, is owned by the OTO. My material is owned by me.
It's now 12:05. Do you want to try to finish up, or take a break now for a little lunch, or will it be your...
Well, I'm not anywhere near through. I've got a couple of hours more. I think it'll be a couple of hours. If you want a break for lunch, this is as good a place as any.
Fine. Is that all right with you, Mr. Dan? Is that all right with you, Miss Waller?
It's up to you, gentlemen. If you want a break,
I can always eat.
Fine. Why don't we recess? I'd like to address another matter during lunch. Maybe you'll just come out and get a sandwich or whatever you like, whatever you like.
I'm not very hungry. Can walk a little, and maybe you get a...
Perhaps it would be useful if we separated at this point. I think I'd like to sit down and talk to Mr. Wazir. Mr.
Thing doesn't have very good contact.
You want to ask about them? Wait, give me a minute to shuffle my papers around, find out where I am. You gentlemen ready?
I'm ready.
No, I think I know. I was working on these things. I wonder which ones I'd use, which ones I haven't.
comments on it.
Thank you for the comment.
Just going back briefly to the organization of your corporation in Tennessee. What are your corporate duties? Do you have corporate duties as such?
My personal?
You mean me? Yes, as a supervisor general, is it?
Yes. I have to coordinate the work of all the other directors, and I have to coordinate the work of any large masters. And but it goes on a hierarchical basis, similar to the military. The members of a lodge are responsible towards the lodge master, who may be a man or a woman, and the members may be men or women. The lodge master is responsible towards the director, and the director is directly responsible to me at the present stage. That's the way the thing is done. What I try to do is to make sure that if a lodge is organized, that it's working according to the principles and aims of the order, and that the members are trying to develop an attitude that we might call thelemic, and that the lodge master, be it again a man or a woman, is not abusing the rights of the members or misrepresenting the society. Now, this is the directors are supposed to be, but the directors are yet very young and untrained, and they keep asking me questions.